You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Side Community News, and today we have a Pacers back-to-back to talk about. Hornets and Spurs, these two games are becoming important thanks to the Pacers' string of losses earlier this week to the Wizards and Heat. They are four games under 500 at 21-25. Entering this back-to-back can get themselves closer to 500. They keep doing this to themselves, so I want to preview both of those games, see how the Pacers can get two important wins over the weekend. And then, you know what we never really talk about and kind of do a deeper dive on is Justin Holiday. So I want to talk about Justin Holiday. I know that seems like a lazy reason to talk about a player, but, you know, we talk about everybody else around the trade deadline or because of their talents or fits with other players or their development or their growth. We rarely have talked about Justin Holiday this season and really singled out his performances. And I want to talk about Justin Holiday, but let's jump right in and talk about the Hornets first, really quick. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car level need. You can get all that at rockauto.com, the title sponsor of today's show. Visit rockauto.com. Tell them Lockdown sent you. Okay, Pacers-Hornets is tonight in Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Sort of important game because, as I said on our Monday show, the Pacers and Hornets, who are very similar in record, the Hornets lost to the Nets a couple hours before I started recording this. So they're 24-23. That puts them, I can't do math quick enough, but about two games ahead of the Pacers in the standings. So they're really close. The winner of this game, I mean, the Pacers could win this game and get within a game of the Hornets. And the winner of this game has the tiebreaker between these two teams, right? So if it comes down to it at the end of the season and these two teams are locked up in the standings, the team that wins this game will get the higher seed. And, you know, should it come down to the play-in or the sixth seed or the fourth seed or whatever, it matters a lot, right? Like, get really between 9 and 8. You know, getting that 8 seed, getting that extra life in the play-in tournament is extra important. Excuse me if I sound very stuffy today, guys. I have quite the cold. But, yeah, the Hornets-Pacers game, very important. They played twice early this season, and I think those two games are actually a pretty good springboard into a discussion I want to have about the Hornets and how the Pacers need to defend them. The Pacers won the first time pretty handily, 116-106. And to get simplistic, the Hornets shot 34% from deep that game. They were 13-38. They played again two nights later. The Hornets shot 16 of 37, so they only took one fewer three the following night, but they hit four more, so they shot 43.2% from deep. And that, again, make shots, you play better. Like, that's not analysis, but the live and die by the three mantra kind of sets up the Hornets well for talking about this team because they're 10th in three-point attempts and they're 6th in three-point percentage for a young team. So they do kind of live and die by the three. You know, young teams with young players. Terry Rozier isn't really young, I guess, 26. Devontae Graham, P.J. Washington, LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges. That's five of their top six guys in minutes, all kind of young. Younger guys, Malik Monk's 22. He's 8th on this team in minutes, right? Younger guys tend to be more inconsistent. So this team gets up a lot of threes. They have really good creators who are able to set up these shots. They have guys who can create their own shot off the dribble. That's all great. They get a lot of efficient looks. There's a reason they're 10th in attempts and 6th in percentage, but you also have a lot of volatility with younger dudes in terms of, you know, if they're against a scheme they can't quite figure out, it takes them longer to, or it takes them a few extra possessions to get that going, or if they're off that night, their confidence is shaken more so than a veteran, stuff like that. So they're kind of live and die by the three more so than any other NBA team, or more than the typical NBA team would be, and I think we saw that very well when the Pacers played the Hornets earlier this season, in that in one game the Pacers were able to keep them off the line, shooting a little worse, the Hornets could win. The other game, the Hornets got hot in the fourth quarter and won it. Terry Rozier, Devontae Graham, and P.J. Washington were the good shooters in that second performance for the Hornets. Those guys are probably all going to start again, so Pacers got to be on their A game on those guys. You know, Gordon Hayward didn't score very well in either of those two games against the Pacers. He had 16 in the first one and only 11 in the second one, but he had 6 assists on the second night and 4 on the first night, right? So he did a nice job distributing a little bit more than he normally does this season. He averages 4.3 per game or per 36 minutes, excuse me. So he did really well against the Pacers, setting up his teammates and distributing Given his size, you know, you'd think he'd kill the Pacers scoring the ball. They've struggled with those bigger forwards all season long, but really his passing was so good, and because they have the shooters, he's been so good at that. So it's going to be paramount that the Pacers in this game, I said a lot of stuff, but to stay with the Hornets and win this game, they need to be crisp with their defensive rotations, you know, not let those threes get up. Without LaMelo Ball, it's a little easier. They don't have quite the creative ways of generating shots, right? They're kind of stuck with Hayward as a setup man, and then you know, Rozier can create his own shot a little bit. Same with Devontae Graham. But they don't have two setup men anymore who are elite at it. They only have one with Hayward, and all the rest of their guys are kind of off the bounce. So I think that their percentages and attempts per game are a little misleading of the team they actually are right now because they're missing LaMelo, who's so good at setting up his teammates. But they're still a threat from deep, and they're a good team in other places. I don't want to just say the three ball is what I want to talk about. You know, they're fourth in assists. They're really good at sharing it. See also what I just said about Hayward and LaMelo, but they get a lot of good passing from Devontae Graham. He averages over five assists a game, and you know they're really good at sharing the ball. There's a reason they are top five in assists, and they're really low in turnovers, 29th in the league. That way, they really take care of the ball. They maximize the possessions part of the points per possession math that so many teams are trying to master this season. So I think the Hornets are good, and I think their strategy is sound. There's a reason their record is good. I think the Pacers can beat them, though. They have good matchups all over the court, right? Cody Zeller is pretty good, but you know, he's not as good as Sabonis or Turner. They should be able to get an advantage in the center department basically any time during the game. Between Bismack Biyombo and Cody Zeller, the Hornets' center rotation isn't extremely threatening. Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham, special offensive players. They don't have LaMelo anymore, though. They lose a lot of size and some defensive chops without LaMelo. So it could be, Brogdon especially since he's bigger, but could be a nice game for the guards. You know, they'll have size advantages all game long. They'll be playing against weaker defenders. You combine that with the center's deficiencies the Hornets have, I think the Pacers can get a lot of easy points in the pick and roll in this game against the Hornets, and I think they're going to try to do that. You know, they did that a lot in Charlotte earlier this season. That first game, Brogdon had 25, Sabonis had 22. They were able to just hammer those guys. McDermott had 28 off the bench in that first game. He was really key. I think the bench is going to be key in this one as well. You know, that group was not good against the Wizards or the Heat. They need more from that. Then the second game, Brogdon had 21, Sabonis had 22. So those and Turner had 20. So those guys, you know, they have easier matchups. They should be able to do well. So they'll probably do fine. The role players need to step up. They did not earlier this week. The Pacers did not share the ball as well as they have been recently. That'll be key as well. And I'll talk about that against the Spurs, who are pretty good at that too. So I think the Hornets can win this – or the Hornets, excuse me. I think the Pacers can win this game, and I think they will win this game. You know, they've been pretty good at bouncing back from these long slumps. O'Shea Brissett officially signed his deal. They'll want to, you know, maybe get up and impress the new guy. Some good practice time at home this week. This is their first consecutive games at home in a while, right? Some familiarity with where you sleep always helps. So I think that the importance of this game combined with a frustrated team in a good situation, I think they're going to beat the Hornets. It'll be a good, nice win. Get it back on track, and then a short little break before they travel to San Antonio to play the San Antonio Spurs for the first time this season in April. Sounds pretty crazy. So let's take a little break and then talk about the Spurs, Saturday's opponent. That should be a fun game. The Spurs are always fun to watch. Greg Popovich gets his ducks in a row better than any coach in the NBA. But first, let's talk about two awesome groups of people. The first one, the great guys over at Sport Trade. Have you heard about them? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade is as simple as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performances in each game compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. And second, the higher their value and their value goes higher if they do better versus worse, etc. And two, supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes when you're ready to buy shares. Pick that penny stock and a rookie with huge upside or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. You can instantly buy and sell as many shares as a player as you like. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, then sign up to get started. Sign up today, sporttrade.com, and discover the fun and exciting and new profitable world of sports trading. And the other group I want to talk about is, of course, rockauto.com. It's an online business serving auto parts customers for over 20 years. We've been talking about them on the Lockdown Podcast Network for forever. You know, if you go to a chain store, you'll get a bunch of pointless questions about your car and the mechanics there, or the guy behind the desk won't have the parts you need. It's a pain in the butt. If you go to rockauto.com, they'll have everything you need for your car or truck, from your classic daily driver to whatever you drive. You know, they'll have it right there. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. And best of all, those prices at rockauto.com, They're always reliably low, and they're always the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On, all one word, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right. Whew, that was the hardest ad reads I've ever had to do. San Antonio Spurs, 24-21. They're eighth in the West. They just lost a crazy long double OT game that I caught some of against the Atlanta Hawks. They lost in double overtime, so now they're 24-22, excuse me. Before that game, that Hawks game, they were 20th in offense, 10th in defense, minus 0.8 net rating, which is 19th. They actually have a worse net rating than the Pacers this season, which is pretty interesting, despite the fact that they are 24-21. Isn't it crazy how that works? You know, net rating is so interesting in that way that, you know, if you lose a lot of close games, your net rating can be a lot better than your record, right? So the Pacers are 15th in net rating, but they're 21-25, and the Spurs are minus 0.8 in net rating, which is 19th, and they're 24-22. So the difference is the Spurs win a lot of close games and the Pacers lose a lot of close games because the Pacers suck in fourth quarters and the Spurs don't. It's that simple sometimes. You know, that it shows the importance of fourth quarters. You can do well in a lot of the rest of the game, but if you lose those close games, it doesn't matter. Anyway, the Spurs have had the easiest schedule in the NBA. That is also a factor in their schedule. They're probably not as good as their record and net rating suggest, despite having some interesting players. And they're a very Greg Popovich team. They're 28th in the league in three-point attempts. They're basically the opposite of the Hornets, which is going to be interesting on back-to-back nights. They're more like the Wizards of any team the Pacers have played recently. They really try to get into the lane. They really try to get in deep to set up their stuff. They're not averse to threes, but they try to set them up on drives in the same way the Wizards do, so they get good looks from deep. And they take a lot of shots at the rim. They have DeRozan, who likes the mid-range shots. They're going to try to get to their spots. That's really – it's more – you know, you've seen Greg Popovich coach teams your whole life. But what they're good at is they force a lot of turnovers. They also, like the Hornets, take care of the ball. You know, they get a lot of steals. They get into the paint. They're pretty good on the defensive glass. So the Hornets are just interesting. They have a pretty unique statistical profile. And they have DeRozan, who is pretty good at setting up his teammates and pretty good at scoring. And then they have eight guys who are just kind of okay at a lot of stuff, right? Jazonte Murray is a pretty good defender, and Derek White can kind of attack the rim and is a pretty good defender, and Keldon Johnson is a streaky good scorer, but, like, no one's making you quake in your boots on this team. You can kind of sell out for DeRozan at this point. They bought out LaMarcus Aldridge, so they're a good team. They have a lot of interesting guys who will grow and make the Spurs good for a long time, but they don't have any killers who you know, you have to change your defensive scheme to cover, and that actually will help the Pacers quite a bit in this game. They've really struggled when they're sending two to the ball or they're trying to force swings to certain parts of the court. The blitzing coverages, they're just so inconsistent for the Pacers. They won't have to do that as much against the Spurs. They might try to send it at DeRozan at times when there's worse shooters on the court for the Spurs, but I think they can get away with pretty standard Pacers-esque coverage instead of having to get aggressive and trying to force the ball out of, you know, trapping DeRozan and getting the ball out of his hand, stuff like that. But the Spurs post-rotation, you know, Jakob Poeltl, very underrated as a post defender. He's actually very solid on the inside. If you're watching this game, I don't be surprised if the Pacers struggle to get going in the paint. Jakob Poeltl can really slow stuff down, and his last name will not look like it's pronounced Poeltl, so I always have to prep for that one. But Drew Eubanks is their backup center. They do not get a lot from him. Their post-rotation beyond Poeltl is not that interesting, so could, again, could just be a nice weekend for the Turner-Sabonis combo. They get some very favorable matchups. And then this one is unlike the Hornets, you know, where they have Hayward and P.J. Washington and Miles, who are all decent, or Miles Bridges, who are all decent and at least defenders or understand the game well enough to be in the right spots. This is somewhere the Spurs kind of lack is wing defense. They have some okay guys for it, like Derek White is a very large guard. He can defend wing. Same with DeJounte Murray. Those guys are more guardy than wing, probably based on their offensive profile, but like Derek White, 6'4", DeJounte Murray, 6'4". They're like Brogdon-sized guys, right? Brogdon just guarded Jimmy Butler. They have the size to do similar things. They're not good at it. But anyway, McDermott, LeVert, Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, those guys could be in line for some nice games because the Spurs – wings are more guards than wings, right? Rudy Gay is their wing-sized, forward-sized dude, and Devin Vassell, their rookie. But Vassell's a rookie, and Gay is really old. This is the year Rudy Gay has finally started to me at least, have a noticeable dip in his speed and step. He's hitting really well from three and compensating a lot for that by being a much better perimeter player, but they're definitely losing a little bit there from him. So This could be a good game for the Pacers wings. They'll actually rarely, for once this season, have a forward size advantage. And I think you could have McDermott. You could see McDermott having a nice game, you know, coming around screens, maybe being a one or two dribble player. He'll be able to hold off some of those guards getting into the paint. Again, Poeltl could give him troubles once he gets there, but I think this could be a big McDermott game. And the bench in general is due for a big one, and they need to have a big one against this Spurs team. The Spurs have a solid bench. You know, Mills is okay. Lonnie Walker is okay. He starts now, though, so he's probably not going to be a part of that unit. Poeltl, if he starts, Rudy Gay, Vassell, Trey Lyles is with their bench a lot, Indy native there. So they have an okay bench with some names who can be good any night. Patty Mills is a pretty nice NBA player, but no one who really puts the fear in you. And I think that if you get TJ McConnell moving around against those guys, right, Gay's 34, Mills is 32, you can make that group, you know, have to keep up and play the Pacers bench speed. That's going to be hard to do. I think the Pacers can get an advantage there as well. So DeRozan is really special. He can get to his spot and score from anywhere that isn't beyond the three-point line. And he's up to over 7 assists per game. He's great at setting up his teammates. He's a fantastic player. He could really tear apart the Pacers if he wants and make this game difficult for them. But the Pacers match up well against the Spurs, the one in San Antonio last year. I think, again, they can win this game. Like the Hornets won. Winning on back-to-back on the road is very hard, so I have trouble confidently saying the Pacers will win this game, but I think they have what it takes to do so. I don't think the Spurs should be, you know, a huge obstacle for them, but I can see this game going either way. Pacers aren't playing particularly well right now, so I have trouble picking them to win this one. I do think they'll beat the Hornets. I'm not 100% sure the Pacers beat the Spurs, despite, again, they have a decent matchup, but you know, it's a Greg Popovich team. They never roll over and die. They're really tough to beat. They were just a tough beat for the Hawks, took to a double overtime. So we'll see. I think I'd lean slightly towards the Spurs just given the way the Pacers opened up this week, but I think the Pacers definitely can win this game. We'll see what happens. All right, let's take one more break and then talk about Justin Holiday, because I never really focus on him, right? He dodges a lot of the focus because of the way his offseason went and the way his season started, but you know, I really want to get him under the limelight. But first, talking about the two people I always talk about here. First up, Built Bar. It's the end of Built Bar Madness. They've been doing a tournament to determine the best tasting Built Bar flavor. And first of all, what is Built Bar? The best tasting protein bars on the market. We've been talking about them on the show for months and months and months. Amazing. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Awesome protein bars that are 100% covered in chocolate. They're doing a March Madness style bracket where you vote on the best flavor. And it's in the finals now. It's coconut chocolate brownie, delicious, versus cookie dough chunk. The coconut chocolate brownie is going to win. It's the best one by a mile. I've ordered that one many times. You can't order it right now because they're sold out of them, but it should win. Go to builtbar.com. You can vote there. And when you're checking out there, use the code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And we're also talking about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over, although the draft and free agency in full swing there. But NBA, college basketball, NHL going strong. College basketball Final Four coming up this weekend, so some fun action to get in on. BetOnline also covers TV shows, reality TV, and awards. They have real-time updated odds and props on anything you can imagine, and they've got you covered for all the new scores and odds. BetOnline.ag, fastest and best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to that website. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, when you do so. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus, 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, Justin Holiday. Why do I want to talk about Justin Holiday? It seems unfair that I'm kind of picking a time when he's slumping to talk about his season, because since the All-Star break, he's shooting very poorly. I'll get to that. And yet he's still at 39% from deep this season. He's averaging the second most points he ever has in his career at 11.3%, and he's still playing masterful defense. I do not think it's lost on me, though, how much the Pacers kind of ride with his success, okay? So since the break, Justin Holiday has been not very good, okay? He's shooting 33% from the field and 32.6% from deep, 66.7% from the free throw line, averaging 10 points a game on 10.3 points per game on 10.5 shots per game. So his defense is still nice. He's definitely their best wing slash like forwardy defender, him and Brogdon both. I think they kind of are both effective against different kinds of guys with the way they defend. But Justin Holiday's defensive impact is definitely lower than last year, according to basically every defensive metric. And, you know, some that track the box score, some that track on-off numbers, some that track their own impact in their own way. You can go to any site that has impact numbers. Justin Holliday's defensive impact numbers are a little down from last year. His offensive impact is a little up. I think that jives with what I see. So with him, he's asked to do a lot of interesting stuff this year, whether it's trapping or coming away from the weak side to shut someone down at the rim or all this stuff. And he can capably do a lot of stuff. He's a little more overmatched this year than he was in years past, where he was just asked to guard his own guy or help from the weak side, stuff that he's good at. This year it's a little more complicated than that, and I think that's where his defense has taken a step back, even though he's asked to do stuff that he's worse at. He's still doing them well. He's just not as good as them. He's not doing the stuff he's awesome at as often on defense, and that's why I think his defensive impact has taken a very, very small step back this season, but he's still the Pacers' best forward defender, and Justin Holliday absolutely deserves that. I think it's so interesting the way he never gets talked about, like his on-court play this season, because, you know, it's almost like even when it's bad, it's still consistent, right? Like, he's always going to get the open corner threes, and the shots he takes are just almost all, like, very open threes. Like, even if he misses, you're like, okay, I want Justin Holliday taking that shot, right? He's almost like the unremarkable. He's so unremarkable that it's not worth talking about him, even though he's still very helpful for the team's success. He's a very interesting player. But he's been kind of up and down since the All-Star break, which is a big factor in their success, right? So he's shooting poorly from three, but he's taking over eight attempts per game. And I think that's interesting to me. They've had more creation with LeVert on the floor. They've had Justin Holliday in the perfect situation with that starting five, with three guys who can really create for others, Turner who can space the floor and kind of pass, and then Justin Holliday. So he's just chucking threes, 8.1 per game. He only averages 6.6 per game on the season, right? So he has really upped his average attempts from deep since the break. And I think that the unit he's in is a big factor in that. And I don't, again, like I said, Justin Holliday never takes a three and you go, oh, why did he take that? You know, that was so contested. Maybe won a game, but he takes really good looks. So the fact that they're getting him these looks makes me almost more confident that he will bounce back impact wise and that he'll be hitting those threes again and helping the team more offensively. And I think he's just in a funk. You know, he hasn't been this 40% 3-point shooter that he's been with the Pacers. Really, I guess the year before that he was okay as well. But until his time with the Pacers, right? So that was kind of a concern with his before free agency, is he actually this level of shooter? Should they be willing to invest in him or not? And I think he's answered that pretty emphatically, that, yeah, he's a good shooter for sure. You know, year two with the Pacers, he's still shooting well. But, you know, we're definitely seeing right now that he can still be inconsistent from deep. He wasn't lauded for his shooting prior to joining this team. But if you really look, right, first two games out of the break, 1-for-10 from deep, 2-for-6 from deep. But he was plus 18 against the Suns. They win that game. He was plus 24 in a big win in Miami. He was plus 8 in the small win in Miami. He was plus 3 in the Detroit win, right? He's plus in all these games they win, and then he's minus 3 when they lose to the Nets. He's minus 7 against Dallas, minus 10 against the Wizards, minus 6 in the loss to the Heat Monday. Some of that's just like he plays with the starters. They play a lot, and when they're struggling, his plus minus naturally hurts. But also, you know, he doesn't only play minutes with them. He's separated and into some other lineups as well, right? So sort of in those games where his impact is the strongest, so he's fitting in his lineups the best, whatever he's doing differently, if that's defensive impact, hitting more threes, cutting more effectively, whatever. And, like, again, back to what I said earlier, duh, if you make more shots, your impact is higher. But, you know, I think recently they've been kind of – their plus-minuses have kind of been tied to success with Justin Holliday more so than before, and I think that's because – he's in better situations for himself, where if he's not, you know, if he's a role player who's missing his shots, which he has been since the break, right, and he's taking more of those shots per game, you're seeing more that they're relying on him to hit those shots, and he hasn't been doing that. So I think, again, he'll bounce back from deep, and we never really put the spotlight on him, but I really think that, you know, Justin Holliday missing some of these threes has been a big factor. They've had a lot of close losses since the All-Star break, by 5 to the Lakers, by 9 to the Nets, and that game was closer than that, by 8 to the Wizards, by 5 to the Heat, right? They've had a lot of these close losses that if they just get, you know, one or two more threes to drop during the game, and they've had a guy taking a bunch and not making them, they win those games, right? Their record looks a lot better. So Justin Holliday's slump is clearly impacting them, but he's still a fantastic defender despite being asked to maybe do a little too much. He's still a very useful offensive player who can hit a lot of his threes. We've seen that this season. He's still a 39% and can get 8 open attempts per game with timely cutting and, you know, good placement on the floor, and he's a smart player. He's a good locker room guy. He's really good for this Pacers team, and he's just in a slump, and I think when he breaks out of it, he's going to really fit well with the group he's in now, and I think analyzing his play is very interesting, just given where the team is at. So I just wanted to talk about him and why I think he's slumping in his season so far, because he doesn't get a lot of attention, and I think he kind of deserves it. He's a very steady guy who helps this team win some games, and yeah, let's think more about Justin Holliday and his role on this team. But this weekend should be fun and telling for the Pacers. You know, they haven't really been, I don't think they've ever been five games under 500 this season. Maybe once, they'd have to really go back and check. So hopefully they can avoid that, because that'd be kind of a sinking time with, you know, it's April now. This do or die time this season. They've got to get their season on track, and they have a good chance to do so this weekend. Hopefully they can take advantage. We'll break it all down next Monday, talking about this weekend and their coming week of games. So please tune in then. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, sorry about my stuffy voice. Hope you guys have a great weekend. And of course, do not forget to check out Sports Trade. Again, it's like fantasy sports meets the stock market. Go check it out. Sign up today. SportTrade.com. Discover the fun and exciting, profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines. Go jump in. SportTrade.com. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you on Monday.